Chuck, what's your take about this issue of the survival as an endpoint in trials of metastatic breast cancer?
I think it's a problem to make that your ultimate bar in a disease that we really do have so much therapy that does have impact on patients. I guess it's when you start feeling old, when you start telling fellows, yeah, I mean, you see patients doing things that we never saw when I was in training, and I don't think I've gotten that much smarter as an oncologist. I just think we all laugh at these patients that get in these advanced trials that have had 6 lines of therapy, but yet we probably all have some of those patients ourselves because they maintain these performance statuses with their volume of disease controlled by changing drugs around. Now, maybe the biology's changed, and I'm lucky in my timing, but I just think it's a real difficult issue, particularly when you have such dramatic, the thing that bothers me about the bevacizumab is a doubling of progression-free survival is substantial in breast cancer. We're not talking about a month and a half to 3 months. In breast cancer, you're talking about substantial time. And this is not the only disease that has shown activity. I mean, it's approved in colon cancer. It's approved in lung cancer.
I want to ask Bob, what's been the discussions going on within the NCCN Breast Cancer Committee about the issue of Bev and metastatic disease?
The use of bevacizumab and paclitaxel in first-line treatment of metastatic disease is included within the NCCN guideline at the current time as an option. And that's been ever since the initial presentation of the paclitaxel bevacizumab data. The NCCN panel does not require FDA approval of an agent in a specific indication to incorporate it in the guideline, nor does FDA approval mean that it is incorporated into the guideline, so it doesn't work either way.
When you review data as it comes out in the metastatic setting within the committee, how much weight do you give to overall survival versus progression-free survival?
So the panel to date doesn't necessarily focus specifically on progression-free survival or specifically survival or specifically toxicity. It really is a gestalt or a balance among the experts on the panel in terms of weighing those different advantages. One of the issues in this discussion, though, is that E2100 does not show that bevacizumab does not provide a survival advantage. It shows that the survival differences are not statistically significant as they were analyzed. But it's a p-value of 0.15, so that means there's an 85% chance that actually, in fact, it is better. And if you do a Wilcoxon analysis on that same data, it actually becomes statistically significant. So some of it relates to your statistician and which method of analyzing the data you actually prefer.